Hey everyone, welcome to Self Care for Writers. I'm Jenna McGuigan, and I'm a writer and editor, and I also host an online writing community called the Word Seller Writers Guild. And this community call today is being presented through the Writers Guild. We have monthly events, either by phone or online, to get together with our writerly comrades around the world when we can't get together in person because we're all scattered all over the place. And I decided to open this call up to people outside of the Writers Guild because it seems like so many of the writers and artists and other creative types that I'm connecting with and hearing from and seeing their posts on Facebook, a lot of us are really stressed out right now for a variety of reasons. So I thought it would be great to get together and just have some time to think about what self-care means for us as creative people and share some ideas of how to make that happen in our lives. So I'll do a little bit of talking for a while and sharing some of my thoughts and ideas on this. And then we'll open it up for some discussion, and we'll have some time to write. So if you're on the call live, you'll have a chance to jump in and chat about things. And if you're listening to this as a recording, I hope that you'll listen along and follow along with the discussion as you do the playback. And also, you'll be able to do those writing exercises on your own time, too. So I thought it might be a good place to start by talking about some of the challenges that writers face all the time, but especially during difficult times. And I keep coming back to this question of how do we take good care of ourselves as writers so that we can do good work, both on the page and in the world? And I know, like I had said, a lot of people are feeling really stressed and weighed down right now. There's a lot of political issues happening around the world. The holidays are here, the winter holidays, and it's at least here in the Northern Hemisphere. And this, even though it can be a time of joy, the holidays are often a time of grief or stress for many people. And then you have this added layer of social media might be making our heads just kind of swim. And we're wondering, how do we stay focused and inspired in the midst of what feels like just so much sadness and discord? And I asked before this call, I asked people who signed up what challenges they were facing. And someone said that right now, writing feels almost like an undeserved luxury. And I thought that was really great and interesting phrasing. Like you know, she said something about, you know, how can I justify taking the time to focus on choosing the right word or focus on telling my story when there's so much happening in the world that feels like it needs my attention. And I definitely understand that. You know, how and why do we keep focusing on our art even when there's so much happening around us? And there always is, of course, but there are periods of time when the world's needs or the world's hurts feel more acute than others. And, you know, along with that is how do we stay committed to our work when there's so many challenges in the world at large? Do we end up feeling guilty because we're focusing on our writing? Or do we end up feeling guilty because we're distracted by other things and focusing on other things and we feel guilty because we're not writing? Then I'm hearing from people and definitely suffering myself from this challenge of just mental clutter and, like, mental chatter. Someone else described this as like having almost like a busy traffic intersection in their head at all times where things are just like whizzing by and they can't focus or quiet their mind long enough to immerse themselves in writing. And I am definitely feeling that way too. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to get together today and hold this call was because one thing we'll do a little bit later is take a little bit of time to just give ourselves that gift of time to sink into our writing for just a little bit. And by the way, if you're on this call and you're not a writer, or you just kind of dabble in writing, but you consider yourself an artist or a photographer, or you make something in another medium, you know, I'm a writer, so this call is focusing on writers. But everything I'm talking about here, at least most of it, if not all of it, should be applicable across all mediums and genres. So take whatever we talk about today and apply it to your own art form in your own life. And to actually, before I get into my own thoughts, I want to read something. It's an essay by a woman named Allison K. Williams, and it was posted on the Brevity blog. Brevity is a literary journal, and they have a blog online that has lots of great material. It'll probably take me, I don't know, 4 minutes to read this to you, but I thought it was a really good exploration of what it means to be a writer during times of chaos and trauma and just discord at large. So this essay is called Chop Wood, Carry Water, again by Allison Williams. She writes, "We woke up and everything was different. Maybe we woke in the middle of the night, tried not to check our phone, checked our phone anyway, and spent the hours before dawn in a bleak haze, waiting for the moment it was late enough to decently call someone. Maybe a call came. Your mother has died, or it's time to let the cat go, or the country has elected a demagogue. Maybe we woke to the memory of yesterday, the doctor saying, let's discuss your options. Or our lover telling us they found someone else, found her, in fact, months ago. All we want is to go back to sleep, back in time, to the moment before the disaster, the breakup, the crash, to the moment of sweet unknowing when everything was still okay. How can we write? How can we read? How can we possibly address the page with our life or our characters' lives, so petty and small in the face of tragedy? How can what we do matter in the wake of the unchangeable? We search online. Who else feels this way? Is there a support group? Someone else we know this happened to? We click, angry, sad, angry, sad, angry, sad. Grief comes in waves. An old photograph, the smell of a cast-off sweater, a yard sign we looked at on the way to work and thought, that's all you know. Superiority mingling with disgust. We go through the motions. There's a place I am due every day at 9 a.m. My child must be fed. I've already paid for that class. We watch faces. Who else has lost their mother? Who is on the ex-lover's side and who is still on ours? My ex-husband's mother dies suddenly. He flies across the country and gets her dog. In the piles of knickknacks and clothes, boxes of paperwork, lists of phone calls and appraisals, there is one constant, an animal that must be fed and walked and loved, whether his capacity to love is intact or not. He drives a truck back full of furniture and a fawn-colored pit bull mix, a dog that has grown up in Vegas and never seen grass. He posts on social media as the dog. The dog sees snow for the first time. The dog discovers kittens. The bottom of his world is still dropped out, but the dog is a bucket in which he can carry water. The dog is an axe with which he can chop wood. He carries her up and down the stairs until she learns, and each time he touches her, he touches his old world, the world in which his mother is also alive and carrying the dog. The dog is a lifeline from a better past. The dog is the seed of a pearl. We grieve, and we see others triumph. Our lover shows up to get his PlayStation, looking happy and well-fed. After a few days, the essay or the book or the poem we've put aside goes from horrifyingly irrelevant to merely unappetizing. We sit down again. We tinker. We find the rhythm. We find that, yes, it matters to say something, anything on the page. That we are not just artists, but craftsmen, and craftsmen go to work. We have spent or are spending our lives sharpening our tools, and they are not just for fine days. Our tools, our words, matter not for how we use them when all is well, but how we use them to shore up the levee when the waters rise. The people whose stories need sharing, who are not craftsmen enough to write their own, who need to hear our story to know theirs is not singular. They still need us. Our words connect them from a better past to a seed of hope, string them a lifeline to the future. Our words say, me too. I call my equally devastated friend who has also lost her mother or her cat or her country, and she tells me a parable. The novice says to the master, "What does one do before enlightenment?" "Chop wood, carry water," replies the master. The novice asks, "What then does one do after enlightenment?" "Chop wood, carry water." We are awake in a new world after the thing that has come to pass. It is our quiet revolution to show up to the page and insist our words still matter. Stories are not frivolous. They weave a slender thread of understanding and possibility, not only in reaction to tragedy, but in recognition of the stories still to tell and be told, the need for human connection that exists independent of our own grief. Stories are our valuable labor, reminding us we matter, the world matters, reminding our readers they matter, saying, "I too chop wood, I too carry water." So again, that was an essay called "Chop Wood, Carry Water" by Allison Williams. If anyone would like to have the link for that, you can just Google "Chop Wood, Carry Water" and "Brevity." That's the site it appears on. I think you'll probably find it that way. And if you can't find it, just let me know, and I can give you the link. So I really like that essay because it speaks to this question of how do we keep doing our work on the page when there's work to do in the world, and how do we sustain ourselves? You know, as I was thinking about what to talk about today, I really wanted to come up with some sort of like really, I guess almost like I was hoping I'd have some sort of epiphany so that I could share something groundbreaking and perfect in terms of self-care, something that would like resonate really deeply with everyone. And I started to feel myself feeling really anxious about that because I was setting the bar so high, like I was going to tell you something that you'd never heard before and I wanted it to be perfect for you. And I started spinning out of control with this worry about it. And then I realized that, of course, I probably wasn't going to share anything completely groundbreaking or come up with the perfect formula for creative self-care for every single one of us because that's just not possible because self-care of any kind, whether it's for yourself as a person or as a writer, it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of thing. You know, each of us has different needs, and we have different needs at different times. So I wasn't going to come up with the perfect list for each of you because your needs are different from mine. And also, this is really important, each of us already knows or can figure out what we need for ourselves. So I think when we think about self-care for writers, probably the first and maybe the most important thing to keep in mind is to ask yourself, what do I need or want right now? You know, and I'm thinking about this in terms of like three different areas, body, mind, and soul. And I think of it as body. What does your body need? What does your mind need? And what does your creative soul or your creative spirit need? There's a book called Breathing the Page by Betsy Warland. Her last name is Warland. And in that book, there's a chapter called Sustaining Yourself as a Writer. And we've been reading this in our book club in the Writers Guild. And I want to just read a couple of lines, just like three sentences or so from that chapter. She says, "The key to sustaining ourselves as writers is this. We must take care of our needs as writers ourselves. Although this may seem obvious, it isn't. The hope creeps in periodically that others will support us in meeting our deadlines, that they'll understand and always respect our writing time, or contribute to our financial circumstances in various ways to enable our writing. Sometimes there are residencies, grants, retreats, and the rare best-selling book, but most of the time, no one will enable the conditions for us to write and publish. It is up to us. Each time we renew this resolve, our other skills for sustaining ourselves take firmer hold." So this idea of sustaining yourself as a writer, you can think about it in, you know, how do you actually sustain the writing itself, but then how do you sustain your own being? Because without taking care of your own being and your own self, you're just not going to have anything to give to the page. And that's what I think of as these two basic categories of creative self-care. It's what we take in and what we put out. So think of this as like the flow of energy in and the flow of energy out. And I feel like both of these are necessary for us to thrive as creative people, both this inflow and this outflow. If we're not taking in what we need in body, mind, and creative spirit, we're not going to be able to give anything back in our creative work. So I think that, like I said, this flow of energy, we don't want to be stuck because then we're stagnant, and that doesn't feel good. We also don't want to be, on the other end of the spectrum, so like frenetic and so busy and doing so much that we're exhausted all the time, because then you're depleted and that energy can't flow. So I really like this idea of the inflow and the outflow. And when you're thinking about what you need, think about both of those pillars. What do you need to take in, and what do you need to give out? And then in line with that, like I said, I think about the three different ways that you can think about sustaining yourself and taking good care of yourself: the body, mind, and creative spirit. And the thing that I keep going back to, and that I read a lot from people who, you know, do coaching around self-care, is to remember the basics, especially during times of stress. I do this, and I know a lot of other people do this. Like, we encounter some sort of challenge or difficulty, and then we dream up like this elaborate plan to fix it. We come up with like, I'll make lists, and I'm gonna make a timetable and a schedule for myself, and I'm gonna attack this problem, and I'm gonna fix it. When really I'm too overwhelmed to do any of that. In actuality, and what I probably need to do is like make sure I get enough sleep, make sure I drink enough water, and make sure that I'm reading stuff that sustains me, that like feeds my creative spirit, not just reading the news, which is important. But as creative people, we need to take in other creative stuff. So we have to be mindful of what we're consuming. So this idea of going back to the basics, the basics are foundational to taking care of yourself. And it can feel really, sometimes I think it feels, for me, it feels like, oh, well, like it's too basic, or like I'm cheating if I just focus on these basics. But in times of stress, like what else could we do? It's almost like you have to triage yourself and take care of the most basic needs, or you won't have anything to give to your art. So I'm going to go through a couple of these basics in each of those three realms for the body, mind, and creative spirit. And I'm not going to spend much time on them. I'm just going to give you a list, and you can just listen. You don't have to try to write all these down. If you want the list, I can send it to you after. But we're going to make your own list in a little bit, so don't worry about trying to capture everything. So the first list of basics for your body is, are you getting enough rest? And by rest, I mean sleep and otherwise. You know, are you getting enough sleep, and are you resting yourself in other ways, like not constantly fretting and going over something again and again? This is part of kind of your mental health and the way you can take good care of your mind. But when you're going over something obsessively in your mind, that has its impact in your body as well. So to take good care of yourself, where do you need to rest? And then on the flip side of that, where do you maybe need to move more, however you're able, whatever that means for you? Does that mean maybe you need to stretch more, or go for a walk, or do exercises, or go to yoga? Because thinking about this idea of energy in and energy out and wanting that free flow of things, like, you know, feeling just stagnant and stuck in your body makes you feel kind of depressed in your art as well. So moving can help with that. Some other things to pay attention to that I know really help me is, am I drinking enough water? Again, the basics. Am I eating nourishing foods? Some days it feels too hard to figure out something nourishing to eat. You just want something comforting. You know, maybe you can let yourself have the macaroni and cheese or whatever your comfort food is and balance that out with, you know, the healthier bowl of kale or whatever it is that you eat. It's winter here where I live in Pennsylvania, and I have to remember to make sure I stay warm, which sounds, again, really, really basic, but I work from home, and sometimes I'll sit by my sliding glass door that goes out to my deck, and it's nice to sit by the light, but I'll find myself, like, an hour or two after I realized I was cold, and I'm, like, still cold because I'm sitting by this big glass door. And so it's hard to stay focused on your writing or your work if you're uncomfortable in your body. So, like, checking in with yourself for these really basic things, like, do I need to put on a sweater? Do I need to put on a scarf? Am I too hot? Do I need to take off my sweater? And then another thing that's really good for taking care of your basic physical needs is getting out in nature if you can. Nature, there's lots of research that shows that being in nature is very restorative for our bodies and our minds. It can be like a reset button. Even if you can't go out for, like, you know, an hour-long walk, can you at least, like, sit by a window and look outside for a while or take a drive somewhere? And along with that is sometimes it's really good to just, like, change your view, like, literally your physical location. You know, if you are having trouble writing in your home, then you could go somewhere to write, like a cafe or a library, or maybe just go to a different room. This is just like a simple physical thing you can do to try to tap into your creativity more. So those are some basic body things. And then we think about basic self-care for our mind as writers. And I said earlier that a lot of us seem to be feeling like there's a lot of chatter and clutter in our heads. And so I know for me, I have to be more mindful of seeking out moments of silence and stillness. Sometimes that means in the car, I turn off the radio or I turn off the news and I put on music instead. Along with that, trying to find a good balance between being alone and being with friends and family. And, I mean, we all have lots of responsibilities with family and friends and work and whatever communities we're involved in. And so, you know, being with people can be really good for our mental health and for our minds and talking with people. But then sometimes we also need to be alone. So knowing for you where you feel most grounded and energized and what mix of that alone time versus community time you need, that's a really good basic thing to think about. For how to take care of your mind. And then I think a lot about what I've been reading lately. And I've been reading lots of things to stay informed about current events. And that's good, but I found myself, I have to actually stop at some point and not continue to keep reading almost obsessively about events that I'm concerned with. And this is not because I don't want to stay informed. I mean, I really do. But at some point, I have to almost just step away from that and read something else. Because as a writer, you know, words are so important to us. And the words that we're taking in, what we're consuming, that inflow of what we're reading, takes up a lot of space energetically and just, you know, in our minds and in our creative work. So think about what you're reading. And if you are reading too much news or too much of one thing, see where you can back off of that and find a better balance where you can read something for fun or relaxation or pick up an author, a book by an author that you really love and read it like you're, you know, read it from the mindset of being a writer so that you can learn from them so that even when you're doing this enjoyable task or enjoyable thing of reading, you're still doing it with a writer's mindset. And that can be really, really fulfilling and nourishing to your mind as a writer. And then a couple other things that you can do to take care of your writer's mind is to obviously let yourself have feelings. If you're feeling like these holidays are really difficult for you, it's okay to let yourself have those feelings. without judgment. Maybe it would be helpful to journal about them, or do some meditation, or pray, whatever kind of practice you have to keep yourself grounded and connected to yourself and to whatever you believe. You know, and sometimes it's okay to just kind of unplug completely and maybe zone out. Like, I really like watching good movies, but every so often like good movies, like artsy movies, and, you know, just good films. Like, I don't want, like, junk food films most of the time, but sometimes I just can't take in anything more, almost. It's like, and so I just want to veg out, and maybe I'll watch a silly comedy, and that's an okay thing to do sometimes, if that's your thing. So you've got how to take care of your body and how to take care of your mind as a writer, and all of this helps to feed into how you take care of your creative soul, your creative self. And, you know, I've said before, you got to think about this inflow and this outflow. If you're not filling the creative well inside of you, then it's going to be really hard when you come to the page to try to write anything, because you're just depleted or exhausted. And so there is this quote that I really love by Madeline L'Engle. She says, "Our truest response to the irrationality of the world is to paint or sing or write. For only in such response do we find truth." I'll read that again. "Our truest response to the irrationality of the world is to paint or sing or write. For only in such response do we find truth." So I love this idea that when the world around us feels like it's irrational and going mad in some way, and there's pain around us and pain in our own lives, that it is a true and good thing to react to that with art, because we find truth there. And I would say we find comfort there as well. So, you know, I think to do, like, basic self-care for your writerly self, you know, maybe you have a lot of thoughts about what's happening in your life that's causing stress right now, and sometimes you really have to get those thoughts and those words out of the way before you can work on anything else. So if you need to write about what's happening in your life right now, or what's, you know, really on your mind, and you need to write that in your journal, or write it in an email or a letter to a friend, or, you know, even write a letter to yourself, that's a good thing to do. You know, maybe you don't, say, for example, that you're having a lot of thoughts about issues of racial justice in the world right now, but that's not something that you normally write about. Go ahead and let yourself write about that, and maybe that will be kind of, maybe it'll turn into an essay or some sort of, you know, actual creative writing that you're doing. Maybe it'll turn into that, or maybe it won't. Maybe you'll just allow yourself the space, the private space, to get those words out and down on the page, so they don't have to keep living in your head and kind of going over and over themselves, like tumbling around in there. You get them out and down, and then if you're writing a novel about, like, teenage warlocks, I don't even know why that came to mind, but, you know, maybe you're writing a fantasy novel. So you do your writing to, like, get your other thoughts out of your head, and then you free up some space to get back to the creative work that you're doing. Or you find that there's a whole new avenue of creative work that you want to explore. And then the last thing that I like to do, or the last thing that I'll mention that I like to do, is that sometimes you can get really like that anxiety around, oh, I'm not writing enough, oh, I'm not creating enough, and then everything becomes really anxious and feels really dire, and there's all this pressure. And so a nice thing to do is to turn to a different creative avenue, some other genre, or like a different path completely, and just play. So, you know, listening to music, doing something that fills that creative well that's not based on writing. So you can listen to music, or you could cook, or maybe you have some paints, or you know, you want to play around with painting, or you have a coloring book to do some, you know, coloring. Maybe you take your camera out and take some pictures. Maybe you dance around your living room. Dance is another form of creative play. So I like this because creativity sparks creativity across boundaries and genres. So you free yourself up to have some spark in creativity that hopefully, you know, you can, like, feel energized and bring that back into your main art form. For me, that's writing. So those are my tips about the inflow and the outflow of energy and the idea of body, mind, and spirit. So we're going to take a few minutes now and do a short writing exercise, and then I'm going to open it up for some discussion. So we're just going to take about 2 or 3 minutes, and the prompt that I'd ask you to write from is this. What I really want right now is, or what I really need right now is. So take one of those phrases, what I really want or need right now is, and just write whatever comes to mind about that. So I'll be quiet for a few minutes while you work on that, and then I'll come back in. Okay, just about take another 30 seconds to write down whatever you're thinking about. Okay, go ahead and finish that up. You can come back to that list or that, whatever you're writing, a little bit later if you need to. All right, so I'm going to take everybody off of mute now, and you can chime in with any thoughts that you have. Just a second here, let me. All right, now we can hear everybody. So does anybody want to share something from what they just wrote, that from that exercise, what I really need right now, what I really want right now is, or just talk about any general challenges you have when it comes to self-care, or, you know, how you practice self-care for yourself.
Sorry, my dog.
Sorry.
He was quiet the whole time we were muted.
Figures, right?
Yeah. Well, I had some thoughts. I didn't want to take over if someone else did.
No, go ahead, please.
Just partly from what you were saying, I thought it was really helpful, the different ways you framed it. And then with that prompt, what I really want, I've been torn as you were talking, because sometimes, I mean, so much of, obviously, over the course of time, so much writing has come from pain. It's not like we need, emotional perfection to write. I mean, we can, so much writing comes out of pain, and I'm sure all of us have written from a place of pain. But I feel like right now I don't even have focused pain. Like, I was thinking, oh, I really want peace of mind right now. But what I want is lack of clutter. Like you were talking about the din that can happen if you're sort of over immersed in sort of an anxiety crisis kind of. So even emotional focus, even if it could be a painful focus, but just some kind of emotional clarity for something to bubble up again for writing. I feel like in the past I've always been able to sort of write. It's more, working on the quality of writing that's been more, the craft issues, but I've never had trouble kind of connecting with some kind of clarity of emotion to write something.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. I'm sorry, who is talking, by the way?
Karen, I'm sorry.
Karen, okay. I thought it was you, but I wasn't sure. thanks. I find that to be a really good point and true for myself, too, because, yeah, certainly lots of writing and art comes from pain and comes from, suffering and dark times. But there's this feeling, it seems, right now of that, like, unfocused. Yeah, just like you're saying, just kind of like a haze of discomfort or something. It's interesting. I don't know exactly. I don't know exactly how we kind of move through that. I wonder if time is the answer for that. Like focusing Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was just writing. Maybe initially there's a disorientation and you're waiting for that initial shock and then there's the place of creativity. Or maybe it's stepping away, like you suggested, stepping away from family, or intensity or social media to let yourself absorb a little bit.
Yeah, I think there's truth in that because that sometimes things are, sometimes you can create, I think, from a place of pain, like, you're right, really in it, and you can have creativity come from that. But then, and that just depends, I think, on the person and the circumstance. Other times, you need, that time, like a buffer to, like you said, like the disorientation to let things settle, to step away from it, take care of your other needs, the really basic physical needs and social needs, and then come back to the creative stuff later. I actually wish there were like a better answer than that, than time, because I don't like things that are like, oh, just wait. but that idea of stillness is one I come back to a lot as a writer, recognizing my need for it, and sometimes that stillness means stillness away from the words. I don't know. Anybody else have thoughts on that, or something else? Did you want to say anything else about that, Karen?
No, I think that's true, but maybe time can be speeded up by stepping away from it, so you can slow the input. I don't mean input like you mean nurturing, nourish, but jangling, anxiety-provoking input. You can slow that down by purposely stepping away from it, which can give you bits of time.
Yeah, I like that idea. That's a good point.
I mean, it was interesting in the Allison Williams essay that some of the crises are points in time. You hear the bad news, you have the crisis, and then the rest of it is you're dealing with it, you're reorienting, you're whatever you're doing from that point. And not that that's easier or harder, it's just very different from the current kind of world events or country events or whatever, if that's causing crisis, that every other minute it seems to be flooding in a new version. It's not settled yet, like, okay, this is what we're dealing with, this is the crisis, the diagnosis, the death, or whatever. It's a different kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. Looking at our time and what else I had on tap here. So I promised some writing time, so I'd like to take like another 10 minutes, I think, and just give you time to write, which means the line will be quiet for 10 minutes. I wish I had the ability to play music through this system, but I've tried it before, and it sounds all jangly. So,
you could sing.
I could sing. I wasn't prepared for that. I'll have to consider that for another time. but I will put everybody back on mute. That way, if you like to have some music playing, you can do that on your end, and you won't be bothering anyone. So we're going to take 10 minutes now for some writing time. And obviously, you know, in some ways, I thought, well, I shouldn't take up our time together to do that, because you can do that on your own. But one of the big challenges that we face, a lot of us, is making the time and feeling like we have the permission to have some time to write. And it's only going to be 10 minutes, so it's not a ton of time, but maybe just think of it as this gift that you can give yourself, 10 minutes to not have any other responsibilities or think about anything else but your writing. And I have two suggestions for what you might do during this time. One is that if there's something you've been thinking about writing or something that you've been working on already, you can take some time to sink into that and just focus on that. You don't have to feel pressured to get very far with it, because obviously 10 minutes is not a lot of time. But you can just give yourself over to whatever that piece of writing is that you had been working on or you've been dabbling with or thinking about writing. That's one option. The other option is, if you don't have something in mind that you want to focus on, you can use this writing time to look back at the list you made a little bit earlier, and do some more writing about what you want or need, as well as how you can work toward those things. So these might be like the basic body self-care, or how to take care of your mind, or, you know, how to nurture your creative side. And as you do, if you do this option, you might find yourself at some point kind of going off topic in some way. It might have a thought that sparks another thought, and suddenly you're writing about something that you actually weren't expecting to write about. If that happens, just go with it. So let yourself go down whatever path you find yourself on. So use this time now to either sink into something that you've been wanting to write, or do some writing about what you need and how you can work towards getting that in your life. So again, I'm going to put everybody back on mute. You don't have to worry about making noise or playing music on your end. Okay, and I'm going to be quiet now for about 10 minutes, and just take this time to please be with your writing and let yourself have that gift. I will chime back in when we have a minute or two left, so you know when to wrap it up. All right, we're about 8 minutes in. If you want to take another little bit of time, another minute and a half or so, to finish up whatever you're writing now. All right, give yourself another few moments here. Finish up whatever thought you're having. Okay. I'm going to unmute your lines again, and if anyone would like to share anything that they've written, or talk about anything that came up for them, you know, in terms of challenges for taking good care of your writerly self, or ideas that you had to help help you achieve what you need. So let me open up your lines. Okay, now everyone's unmuted. Anyone have anything to share from that? We're a quiet group. That's actually not bad.
Well, I found I was able to write, which is so interesting because I just haven't been for a while.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It makes me think maybe there's sometimes you just need more structure than other times.
Yeah, there is something. I find that to be true for myself. That the structure helps a lot. I rebel against that constantly. I like to think that I don't need structure and I don't need deadlines or time frames or someone telling me what to do almost. But I do find that when I'm given some parameters, a lot of times that helps. So that's really interesting that you had that experience.
Yeah. Thank you.
Sure. So now I guess the thing would be to think about how to replicate that. Or how to continue that, you know, on your own. Whether you need to set yourself have timed writing time, like you actually set a timer, or what kind of parameters you can use to give yourself structure that'll be helpful. Anybody else have anything you want to share or thoughts that you're having about anything we've talked about today? Okay. Well, we are just about, we're actually a little bit, about an hour, I guess. So I thought I would just close our time today with another short reading. This one's not very long. It's been shared around a lot online by Toni Morrison, and it's an article or an essay that she wrote for the magazine The Nation. And it was actually published, I think it was published last year, or it wasn't too recently, but it's been shared around because it really seems to speak to some things that are happening now in terms of the mood, especially here in the U.S. after the recent presidential election here in 2016. But she wrote this about the presidential election actually in 2004. So these are Toni Morrison's words. She writes, "Christmas, the day after, in 2004, following the presidential re-election of George W. Bush, I am staring out of the window in an extremely dark mood, feeling helpless. Then a friend, a fellow artist, calls to wish me happy holidays. He asks, "How are you?" And instead of, "Oh, fine, and you?" I blurt out the truth. "Not well. Not only am I depressed, I can't seem to work, to write. It's as though I'm paralyzed, unable to write anything more of the novel I've begun. I've never felt this way before, but the election..." I'm about to explain with further detail when he interrupts, shouting, "No, no, no, no. This is precisely the time when artists go to work. Not when everything is fine, but in times of dread. That's our job." This is a little bit later, at the end of the essay. She writes, "This is precisely the time when artists go to work. There is no time for despair, no place for self-pity, no need for silence, no room for fear. We speak, we write, we do language. This is how civilizations heal. I know the world is bruised and bleeding, and though it is important not to ignore its pain, it is also critical to refuse to succumb to its malevolence. Like failure, chaos contains information that can lead to knowledge, even wisdom, like art." I like those lines so much, I'm going to read them again. "I know the world is bruised and bleeding, and though it is important not to ignore its pain, it is also critical to refuse to succumb to its malevolence. Like failure, chaos contains information that can lead to knowledge, even wisdom, like art." Again, those are words from Toni Morrison in an article that she wrote for The Nation. I think back, I think in 2015, I'm not sure. So those seem like good words to end on, that going, they think they speak directly to the question that I asked at the beginning, was how do we take good care of ourselves as writers so that we can do good work on the page and in the world? So I like to think about this, you know, the hard times can be the times when we really do get to work. That we make our art, you know, we drink water, we sleep, we make our art, we chop wood, we carry water. We do the things that we need to do to take care of ourselves, whatever that means for us in the moment, so that we can make the art that we want and need to make. So thank you today for being part of this conversation. If you're listening after the fact, thank you for listening. And I wish you all good things on the page and off of it. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.